random useless questions so you can get to know us just a little bit better and hopefully not run away in fear.
All right. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's our 10th episode.
Yeah. Woo. And people said we wouldn't have made it.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Take that, Woo. People.
Exactly. Yeah. Although we are slowly gaining ground in the world.
Yeah. According to Rando, we picked up another follower this week. So welcome aboard.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy the ride. And since this is our 10th episode, we just want to let you know we're all recording this in the nude. Just do this little special for you guys.
Yes, we have great faces and bodies for radio.
Exactly.
Particularly bodies. So tonight, we thought we'd just, we're going to do something different since it's a special episode. We're just going to come up with random questions and throw at each other. We're just going to wing the whole thing.
Exactly.
We haven't got really much planned at all. So, in the immortal words of Bill O'Reilly, we'll do it live!
Exactly. Well, we hope you guys enjoy it because we're just kind of, we're living on the edge here with this.
All right. So, who wants to go first?
Well, how about you, Rando?
All right. Well, to reintroduce myself, I am the amazing Rando. And just come up with a couple of questions here. First one I'm going to throw out at you guys. What do you find funny?
Huh.
That's a good
That's
one.
That's a very broad one there.
You know, all right. Let me narrow it down a little bit.
Sure.
What makes you laugh uncontrollably?
Oh, geez.
That's a good one. You mind if I take a first shot at this one?
Go right ahead.
Go for it.
Uncontrollably. I think it's things... Well, I guess I should preface it depending on what kind of mood I'm in.
Yeah, that has a big bearing on it.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm in like a slap-happy mood, I mean, I can just watch something, I don't know, let's say Monty Python or something I've seen 100 times. And maybe 50 times I wouldn't laugh at it. But if I'm in the right mood, I can just laugh till I almost pee my pants. So, I mean, you know, I think a lot of it depends on the mood. But, I mean, to really get going, I think truly some of the best laughs I ever had, I mean, as far as if we're looking at entertainment, is like looking at Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, I would agree with that, yeah.
Now, the biggest... truly biggest belly laugh I think I've ever had and ever seen witness to. And Rando, I don't remember if you were here there for this or not, but we had another friend and he was very, let's just say, gullible.
I was just thinking the same story. I was going to bring the same story up.
We had him believing that there used to be a TV show called The Avengers based from the comic book. At least I did.
Yeah,
I was
it was four of us, this guy and another friend. And you mentioned, I think, the old TV show, The Avengers. And our friend immediately thought it was the comic book.
Right,
and you just
kind
of went with that.
Yeah, I remember this story. I wish I had been there.
The biggest thing I remember telling him that Ricardo Montalban played the Submariner.
Yeah, I love that bit.
I mean, Pancho was losing it. I'll never forget that.
Me and Henry, the other guy that was there, we both immediately lost it, completely lost it. And our friend, our other friend, he's thinking something's not quite right. But he's still kind of going along with it, even though Henry and I are rolling on the floor laughing.
Exactly.
And then you just kept going, I remember, for a while. And
oh, yeah. I just kept egging it on. I think it finally got to the point where he was like, there's no fucking way this is true.
Well,
you know,
it got to the point where you told him that there was a crossover with Fantasy Island.
Oh.
Where he had forgotten that he was the Submariner. Right. He lost his memory, and he would, now it was Mr. Rourke, and there was a tidal wave hit Fantasy Island, and when the water hit him, he remembered who he was, and he got his Submariner powers back.
Oh, my God. That was so long ago. But that's the hardest I've laughed.
That is the hardest I've ever in my life laughed. I mean, to the point where my sides were actually hurting. And I could not see. I was crying so much from laughter. And, oh, God. And Henry was the same way. And our friend, our other friend, the person, the guy we were pulling this gag on, he still, I mean, right up until the Fantasy Island thing, he was still kind of halfway believing that this was true.
Yep. Oh, my God. But that would be my answer, I think, too. Oh, good times, good times. Oh, my God.
Yeah. As far as what I find funny, it's kind of hard to say. Random things will happen that will just have me on the floor. And it's really hard to predict what that's going to be. I mean, watching a bad movie sometimes and somebody will say something just out of the ordinary. We were watching this one movie a long time ago. I don't remember what it was. But it was about this race of women from Venus coming and trying to take over Earth or something. And they were all women. And somebody asked them how they reproduced. Or it didn't even get that far. The guy went, well, how do you? And the woman went, yes, how do we? Well, we make this vegetable extract. And that just floored me. This is the last thing I expected her to say. Just absolutely floored me.
Oh, my God. That sparked a memory.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if you guys remember this. I think we were still in high school. We were all sitting around watching The Birds.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, my, yes.
I definitely remember that.
After the Avengers story, that's the second hardest I've ever laughed.
And the guy picked up the bird. That's a bird, all right.
The thing is, you said that like a MST sniping little jab. But then, as soon as your mouth shut, that's exactly what the character in the movie said.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
I remember we watched the movie that night expecting it was going to be scary. And I don't know if we were just in the wrong mood or whatever. It was like everything that happened we found hysterically funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Right down to the fact that everything in the movie was blue. It's like blue is the predominant color. And then, there was one scene of a green field. And we're like, oh, my God, it's green.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And the birds would sway side to side on the perch instead of actually running back. I used to have a bird. That's not how they behave.
No, it's not.
And that's what started me laughing. And I expected that movie to be a lot scarier than it was. And for me and my tastes, it was very unintentionally funny.
Well, I think it's that goes to show your frame of mind really influences how you react to things, because I've watched that movie at other times and not found it nearly as funny as I did that night.
Yeah. Well, plus, you know, when you're together like that, we kind of feed off each other.
Oh, yeah. We definitely did that night. That was classic. So. Yeah. So what about you, Rando?
The short and simple answer is gas.
Gas? Oh, okay. Oh my.
I see you go for the real highbrow stuff, in other words.
If I'm in the right frame of mind, someone can toot, and I will laugh like a little 12-year-old. But there are two times where I was laughing really uncontrollably. Mm-hmm. First thing that comes to mind, excuse me, Lefty, you were over at my house. I forget what late-ass time of night it was.
Right.
We were watching the Home Shopping Channel,
mm-hmm.
and to get people to pay attention, they had this stupid little horn that they would blow.
Oh, yeah, Tootie.
Tootie.
And they would toot Tootie, and I don't know why. I guess it was just that punchy. I would laugh uncontrollably, and then they would do it on TV again, and I would continue to laugh, or Lefty would say something and keep me laughing, and I couldn't quit. The time
I like putting fuel on the fire. Yeah.
Not just a little bit either. But the time that I laughed the hardest, to the point where I actually got frightened at the very end, I was going to pass out because I couldn't breathe.
Oh, my.
Was watching The Naked Gun when Leslie Nielsen went to the bathroom with the radio mic on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good scene. Yeah. That's a great scene.
We all went to see that together, I remember, after Lefty and I took the SAT.
That's right.
That is the hardest I have ever laughed. If any of you out in internet land have not seen that movie, you should treat yourself.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's right next to Airplane in the must-see category.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's great.
Okay.
That's pretty interesting.
Well, you want me to go next, Lefty? Or
sure.
You...
I mean, I have one, but you want to go right ahead, okay. Poncho. It's fine.
Well, this question I thought up, I actually proposed it in a list, so it's not going to be a complete shock to these guys, but who would you like to see just explode? And I mean that in such a way, somebody that just annoys the ever-living hell out of you, and you just wish they'd blow up and go away so you never have to hear from them again.
I only have one.
Okay.
Can I only have one, or can I have random? Because one is so limiting.
Well, take as many as you want. It's an open show. So,
well,
we got 40 more minutes to kill. God damn it!
That's true. Well, let's see here. What do you, Poncho? Would you like to go? I mean, Rando, would you like to go? And
just keep naming people. We'll answer.
Carl, would you like to go?
Sure.
Okay, I've got a list of people. People who talk during movies.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
People who don't have the home training to lift the toilet seat before they take a piss.
Oh my God! Yes.
People who leave their shopping carts all over the parking lot.
Yeah.
People who drive 10 miles an hour under the speed limit.
Uh-huh.
Those are just a few of many. I could go all night.
Y'all, I could go a lot too. I'm more thinking of celebrities personally.
That's finally what I was thinking, but you know, anybody that annoys you.
Yeah. I mean, you made some very good observations there, Rainbow.
Yeah.
I think people who have bad habits in general in public bother me. They could explode. Example?
Yeah.
Talking during the movies, this is a personal peeve of mine, and I don't know why it bothers me so damn much. It's probably because I'm old. But when I see a group of people together at like dinner or something, and they're all out texting.
Oh, yeah. They're all sitting around with their phones.
Yeah. Right. I mean, me and Mrs. Lefty went out to dinner, I don't know, it's been about a month ago now. And we went to this nice restaurant, and this couple, was across the way from us. Well, the guy obviously had planned a special evening for them, too, because he had roses at the table ready for them, and this giant, I mean, literally giant-sized teddy bear sitting at the table.
Oh, he's wanting to get
when
laid.
They get there. Yeah, probably. Yeah, no doubt. But, I mean, you know, they're number one, she doesn't look impressed to begin with.
Mm.
Number two, now this is like within 5 minutes of them sitting down, she takes out her iPhone. And I thought she was going to, you know, take a picture of the bear or whatever. No, she starts fucking texting and starts looking at her Facebook.
Oh, my God.
And then I'm just like, that drives me insane. I don't get it. You know, I don't need to be that connected. You know, you have a human being right beside you. Why do you have to feel like you have to be connected 24/7? That annoys the bejesus out of me.
I don't know, but it's definitely a generational thing. I don't see people our generation doing that, at least not as often.
No, but I have seen couples, and these people are probably, in fact, Monday night when we went out, there was a couple sitting like catty corner to us, and they were probably in their late 20s. And, I mean, they're sitting there eating, and all of a sudden the guy whips out his phone, starts just texting randomly. I'm like, what the hell do you say that is that goddamn important that can't wait till after you eat? I mean, that's just a pet peeve of mine. But now, as far as, like, celebrities I'd like to see explode, I think Justin Bieber would be one. And now that I've heard it, that Macklemore guy, I'd like to see him explode. Let's see, who else? Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That would put a lot of people out of their misery if he would explode.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's see, who else? Is there anybody that's really just an annoying little douche?
It's hard to pick just one, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, this one would go to the top of my list, that Nicki Mangi?
Minaj?
Minaj, whatever her fucking name is. I'd like to see her and her goddamn head explode. She looks like a fucking Mrs. Potato Head with a goddamn yellow blonde wig on. No, but that's my list for now. There's more, but I won't keep on spitting out hate.
But you're so good at it.
I am good at it. That's the damnest thing. I am good at it.
On a side note, I did hear this morning on the news, quote unquote, that Justin Bieber actually did collapse in a concert.
Oh, darn. Right. Let the rumor mill spin about that.
Yeah, he probably had the flu or something. It sure as hell won't from singing. It was probably just had the flu or something.
Well, I don't know where to start with people I want to see explode. There's so many. John Boehner immediately comes to mind.
Well, yeah, that's good getting to the government side of it.
But he would probably leave a giant orange stain all over everything, so.
Exactly.
Pat Robertson has needed to explode for a long, long time.
Yes.
And Oprah Winfrey's another one. She's needed to explode for a long time.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, like you guys, I could go on about that for a while. Yeah. It'd just be a matter of coming up with the appropriate person.
Right. Well, we're all about love here. We're not about
exactly
hate.
Exactly.
Now, I think I have a different kind of question for you guys.
Okay.
All right. Were you going to say something first, Rando?
I was just going to say, and speaking of love, what's your question all about?
Okay. All right. This one's a little different. It's just general question. What kind of phobias do you have?
Oh, I'm terrified of heights.
Terrified. Definitely. Yeah, I agree. I don't care for heights. I don't really even care for crowded places that much. I'm not really claustrophobic. I just being packed in with a bunch of people just does not make me comfortable.
Yeah, I have to agree with you with that. I do not like being in a crowd of people.
I don't like it either. I wouldn't call it a phobia, but there are other places I'd rather be.
Well, do y'all have anything that just plain freaks you out then, if it's not necessarily a phobia or something that if you had your choice, you would definitely stay away from?
Hmm.
Fast-moving bugs.
Okay, that's a good
sound
one.
Sound like my
that's
wife.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure there's something.
Yeah. I mean, you know, is there anything in general that creeps you out or just like makes you go, ew, gives you a little chill or something?
Needles used to be that way, but I've gotten over that.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Heights is the main thing. I've been terrified of heights since I was a little kid.
Yeah, heights don't bother me, surprisingly enough.
When I was in elementary school, the building was an old school building. In fact, it was the one my father went to high school in. And the auditorium was this two-level thing. And it was a K-5 school. The fifth graders got to sit in the balcony. And I could never go up there. I would always end up having to sit on the very back row of the lower section all by myself because I just couldn't walk up those stairs to that. It scared the crap out of me.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
I'm a lot better with it now. Something like that wouldn't bother me now.
Yeah.
I have noticed, though, it only is really triggered by man-made objects. Like, we went to the Grand Canyon, and I stood right on the edge. It didn't bother me a little bit. I've been on mountainsides all over the place. Doesn't faze me in the slightest. But the thought of going into an elevator to go to the observation tower of a skyscraper, I can't even get through the door.
You know, wow.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. Hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know. Well, I knew you didn't like heights, but I didn't know if it was something like, you know, you couldn't get into an elevator kind of thing.
Only if I'm going to, like I said, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, if I know I'm going up to somewhere where I can see out and see around, then it'll scare the crap out of me. But I'm going like to the top floor of a building to go to an office, that doesn't bother me.
Okay.
I guess well, it's a psychological thing.
No, I mean, like if you're going out to an open space or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay.
Question, how high off the ground were you when the earthquake was felt?
Which one? The one that hit Washington
yeah.
a year or two ago? I was in at work, and I didn't feel a thing.
I was on the fifth floor, and the building swayed sideways.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I bet that was a freaky
feeling. I'm sure it was.
Very.
I have been in three earthquakes that I know of, and I haven't felt one yet.
Oh, well, that's good.
There was that one. I didn't feel that. The girl sitting across the desk from me did. And I've been in two small ones out in California. Didn't feel a thing of that. Didn't feel a thing either time.
To put mine into context, I was on the fifth floor of a building in a corner window office.
Oh, boy.
Eek.
Oh, boy.
That's not good.
All righty, well. Back to you, Rando.
Okay. All right. I got kind of a serious one here.
Oh, boy.
Excuse me. Have you noticed any significant change, be it physical, psychological, mental, outlook, whatever, since you turned 40?
Hmm.
Huh.
I have slightly noticed that I can't drive for long distances like I used to. I used to be able to, it's like a 12-hour drive to my in-law's place in Florida, and we could do that in a day, and I think it would just about kill me if I did it now. The last few times we've driven down there, we've had to split it up over 2 days. Same thing if we've gone up to visit Lefty, we've had to split it up over 2 days.
Well, do you find it's like the act of driving is just no longer fun for that long, or is it just a physical thing?
It just wears me out really bad. It really does wear me out. And I've noticed sitting at a desk or computer for long times will make my shoulders start to hurt. So, yeah, I have noticed some. Everybody that's older than me tells me everything starts going downhill when you hit 40. And yeah, I was like, oh, boy, they were right. That's not good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for me, I guess I feel it's more of an attitude kind of change. I find myself saying things I didn't think I would ever say, you know.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You know, yeah, and I think it's a general perception. This is funny that you asked this. This was something I was thinking about the other day. It's like, I'll focus mostly on pop culture since that's mostly what we talk about on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there thinking the other day, you know, when we talk about stuff we don't like, you know, like Justin Bieber or whatever. And I wonder sometimes if the reason we don't like it. I mean, it's crap music and, you know, it's coming from somebody that's 42, but I wonder if there's a little resentment there because, you know, we're no longer the demographic that the world cares about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is pushed for people, what, 16 to, what, 35?
Yeah, if that
maybe 40.
25.
25?
Yeah.
And I mean, and I wonder if some of this sarcasm and little snarky kind of attitude about this shit is a little resentment on our part because we're no longer that demographic. You know what I mean? The world's not bending over backwards for us anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you mean.
I don't know if that makes sense or
yeah.
not, but
yeah.
I don't know. I think if I was still in that 16 to 25 age, I think I would still hate Justin Bieber.
Oh, and you very well. I'm just using that as
but
a random.
I can definitely see, you know, am I jealous of that punk's success and money? Yeah.
Well, sure.
I'll admit it, but I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I mean, do you feel like the world's leaving you behind?
A little bit, yeah.
I can definitely feel that, yeah.
Yeah, see, I do too.
But I think that's a natural part of getting older, I think.
Well, that is too, and I mean, I think we're also at the age, 'cause I think it all, stuff like that goes in stages, you get to a point where you don't give a shit once the world leaves you behind because you're satisfied with your own corner of the world.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, once you get to a point there where you're so far behind, it doesn't matter. I mean, I think that's going to happen when we hit 70.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, but I think right now we're all at a point where, you know, yeah, it kind of still stings some that the world's leaving us behind, but it's also at a point where we can say fuck it a lot more easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 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 Well, I have figured out getting older that the old saying youth is wasted on the young is true. I know. I wish I still had the energy and the drive I had when I was 25.
Oh yeah, I wish I could have focused it.
Yeah, yeah. Know? If I could do it now, I think I have that maturity to be able to focus that drive a little better. But I don't have the drive anymore because I'm 42 years old. You know.
But yeah, it's the same with me. You know, and it's just like you get to a point too where you know. When you're 25, you're like, oh, fuck it. I still got plenty of time to do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
I mean, we're no by means old. I mean, there's old people out there. We're not part of that, but we're at an age where...
We're not young anymore. Right. The thing.
Right.
Yeah.
There's that finality and that finite time starts to creep in a little bit more than it did when you're 25.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does.
I mean, I'm not obsessing about death or anything, but I mean, it's there. You know, it's just a reality of our age.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, that's nice and morbid.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks, your Rando. Turn.
Yeah, thanks, Rando.
Well, I'll answer it. I think for me, and this kind of has to go in with watching a lot of actual History Channel programming about history versus
they still, you know, do that
entertainment on occasion. That and reading things and seeing how this plays out around the world even currently. But I really think at this age, at my level of maturity, I think I've really lost my religion.
Really?
Wow.
Now, I'm not going to say belief in God or some supreme being or something like that, but in religion as
spirituality,
sort of, as it's defined by churches and religious groups, it just seems to me, the more I view it and the more I look at it, that it's a means of subjugation and control versus enlightenment.
Yep, I agree with you totally.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Yep.
I felt that way for a long time.
I have too.
And when I was younger, I had it crammed down my throat quite a lot, and in ways that didn't leave me, you know, looking back on it, I wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really wasn't. I mean, as a matter of fact, it was something that kind of chained me down. And I'm finally at a point now where I can say I don't really think I need this. I mean, I think, you know, if I need something, it's not this. Now, again, religion and spirituality as a philosophy and a moral compass, I got no problem with. I'm not going to say that it's bad.
Oh, no.
It's I just don't. And it's not even like I'm going to say I feel spiritually empty and I'm continually searching for something. I just don't feel like I need it.
I've said for years that I have no problem with, how do I put this? I believe in God, but I don't believe in religion, organized religion.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. I see how it's perverted across the world keep people in power, and not just modern day either. I mean, it was, you know, really even worse in especially in the Middle Ages
earlier,
all throughout history. religion has been tied closely to politics. And if you really look at it, you know, it's a self-funding organization built on subjugating people, oftentimes at the fear that, you know, if you don't believe what we tell you to believe, you're going to go to hell. So you better believe it. You better come to this building and you better throw money in the coffer.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, of course. That's not changed.
No.
See, I'm different. I'm a hardcore atheist. I don't believe in any of it. I think religion's caused more problems than it's cured. And you have, if you look at, not to get too political on this, but look at the news.
Too late.
I know. But look at all the news and all the shit. Hell, in North Carolina, the stuff they're trying to get passed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? I mean, aren't we all beyond all this? Can't we just learn to live? Why do you have to have religion as a moral compass? You can be a moral person and not be religious.
I can see it as a moral compass in that it tries to teach you a certain morality of right and wrong that you don't, that you're not really going to get without some sort of guidance.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you can do it without all the fire and brimstone.
Now that I agree with.
Yeah, completely. Completely.
I mean, I just think people, if people would let that shit go and just treat somebody, the basic tenet of it, there's some good tenets out of it, but the basic thing, just treat somebody the way you want to be treated. If people did that, just that one thing, I think you would see a lot better society in general, you know? And then, you know, if you believe one thing, that's fine. Don't try to shove it down my throat. You know what I mean? And I think this country has become so polarized because, you know, if you're not, you know, well, I can't say it in general, but I mean, if you look at this area of the country here where I'm at, and I'm down south too, I mean, you got a bunch of Bible thumpers around. You know, and they're just like, they're trying to push their view, their interpretation of this book that has no dealings with modern life whatsoever anymore. You know, if you just use common sense, you don't need the Bible. You know, don't, you know, look at the Ten Commandments. Those are pretty much your ten, pretty much, I would say, common sense things. You know, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not, covet thy neighbor's wife or whatever. All this stuff is common sense stuff, people. You know? And if you want to be spiritual, I got no problem with that. If you feel there's some kind of force that's guiding you, and you feel like, you know, there's an energy or a power or whatever you want to call it, that's great. But when you try to structure it, and you try to brainwash people into believing, you know, it's my way or the highway, that's where I have a real big problem with it. Because I think there's too much of that in this country.
Oh, there's too much of that everywhere,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, it's true. I shouldn't just say here, but yeah, that's everywhere.
It's in a lot of places. On a lighter note, the other thing that I've noticed I've changed, especially since I've turned 40, is I've learned to appreciate the beauty of older women.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's very true.
Yep. Alrighty. My next.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. It's all you.
Okay.
It's all you. It's on you, bud.
This will be a little more fun than the last one. This was a question I posed on our little list, and Rando thought it was a little morbid, and he's probably right. So I'm going to restructure it a little bit to make it a little more fun.
Okay.
What music would you like to have played at your funeral? Specifically to fuck with the people at the ceremony.
Okay, that bit changes things because I actually have a song I was wanting to play at my funeral.
Yeah, just imagine this is your last chance to troll your friends and family. They're all in one place and they have to listen to this song that you've chosen. What would it be?
Let me see. Without the snarkiness angle, I would have said, "Won't you come to my funeral?" by the Crash Test Dummies.
Okay. Never heard that, but that's a good one. The title fits perfectly.
There you go.
Won't you come to my funeral when my days are done? Life's not long. God, what's the rest of the verse? So I hope when I am finally dead and gone that you'll come around when I am lowered into the ground.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Okay.
There you go.
That's the basic refrain of it, but to fuck with people.
That's funny.
Wow. That's a good one.
The one I thought, to fuck with people.
Yeah.
There's an old Janis Joplin album called Farewell Song. It was released posthumously, and it was a collection of unreleased tracks. And there's one song, there's a version of Amazing Grace she sings on there. She is drunk off her ass and completely out of tune. And I've always thought I should have this played at my funeral. It's just so I could look down from wherever or up from wherever I am and see everybody's expression when she starts warbling this Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. So that's exactly how she sings it.
That's funny. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'll have to think about this a second.
I think I caught y'all off guard with that one.
Yeah, you did.
You did. Let's see.
You could go for something silly like One Way or Another by Pat Benatar.
Yeah. Or Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf.
Oh, there you go. That's a good one.
I think I might have that. I think that's pretty cool.
I was thinking something off of Black Sabbath's first couple of albums.
Yeah, that would work too.
Like Iron Man or something like that. Yeah.
I think if
Nativity in Black.
I think to specifically piss Miss Lefty off, I would pick something by Tom Waits. Let's see.
Actually, now that you mentioned that, one of the ones I would like played at my funeral is one of his songs.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Come on up to the house.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, that's a good one.
The other one would be I Shall Be Released by Bob Dylan and the Band.
Oh, yeah, that's a good version.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one, man. That's a good question.
I've stumped the chumps.
Yes, you have. I think I'll go with the Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell, though. I mean, that would probably piss enough people off.
I don't know. I'd be having too much of a time grooving to a Meatloaf song. I'd be like, this dude is righteous. All right.
There you go.
I'm trying to think, you know, what would really, really get somebody's goat? And I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, songs that are coming to my mind are like Welcome to My Nightmare.
Well, that's a good one. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Just something completely inappropriate for a funeral would be good.
Yeah.
Like Good Day Sunshine or something like that.
Yeah. They say it's your birthday.
There you go.
Or Revolution Number 9.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That would get some strange looks from the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9. Number 9.
Yeah, number 9.
Number
exactly.
9.
Or just, you know, if you really want to go classic and just go maybe Imagine by John Lennon.
Ooh.
I'm sure that would piss some people off.
How about the theme to Sesame Street?
Oh, there you go. Random, yeah.
That is very random.
The Banana Splits theme.
We're forgetting the obvious one, the Benny Hill theme.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Play that during when you're carrying the coffin. Yeah.
That would only be fun if you could get your pallbearers to drop you on purpose.
Exactly. Go really fast. Slow down. Go really fast.
Now, I know of a song I would want to play to fuck with people when somebody else dies.
Okay.
Oh.
There's a particular woman who, once she passes away, this is not Mrs. Rando, by the way. I love Mrs. Rando. No, there's another woman who I'm personally waiting on to shuffle off as Mortal Coil. And if I had my way, I would play Ding Dong the Witch's Dead.
There you go. That's funny.
Oh, boy. In a God of Davida. There you go.
Yeah.
It's like that scene in The Simpsons where Bart slipped that into the church music and make everybody go actually, sing.
Actually, if you want to, like, just fuck with people, make them sit there for a long, long time, just play Thick as a Brick.
The whole album?
The whole album. Or Passion Play. It's all just one song. Yeah, you know. That would work. that's funny. Well, that's pretty interesting.
All right.
That was a tough one.
What you got, Lefty, or next?
Well, I was thinking just throw something out of left field here. If you guys could go back in time and live in another era, what time would it be and why?
Oh, boy. That is a good one. I don't know. What about you?
Me? There's two answers. My funny answer is I wouldn't want to go back any time before air conditioning. but seriously, if I had my chance, I guess, to really do whatever, I'd probably go back to maybe somewhere in the 1800s, like maybe Industrial Revolution, just to see all the things happen at one time. You know what I mean? All the big inventions, all the big technology, and all the creativity. Either that or maybe the Renaissance.
I was going to say the same thing. I'd like to go back to the 19th century because there's just so much went on then as far as the advancement of the civilization and literature and technology and art. And there's a lot of people I would like to have met that lived back in that period, like, you know, Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm. That would be good, I think. What about you, Rando?
I think I would choose to live. We're talking about if we were to go back at our current age, right?
Oh, I guess that probably would be, let's go with that, your current age.
I'd like to go back to maybe the mid to late 60s. 1960s.
Okay, why is that?
And to experience all of the cultural things I've always read about and marveled out in our current era.
Yeah, I agree.
All of the wonderful music that would have been so cutting edge at the time, and to experience it with all of those people, and maybe get a little free love too. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a plus. Can't hurt. Although free love is a myth, you know that. Let's see. Well, that was a pretty good one, actually.
Mm-hmm. Kind of to piggyback on that, this is another one I was thinking. If you could go back to like the 50s or 60s or 70s and see one artist in concert that you can't see now, or somebody that you can that you would like to see them back in their prime, who would it be?
I would say Yes.
That's a good one.
Can you imagine?
Fragile Era.
Exactly. With the giant Roger Dean rotating stages all kinds of stuff. That would have been, more so than a concert, it would have been an experience.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Hmm.
Until last year, I would have wanted to go back and see The Wall when Pink Floyd did it, but I got to see Roger Waters do that. So I feel like I have seen it now, even though I would like to have seen David Gilmour playing with him. But it would be a toss-up with me between going to see either Jimi Hendrix or Janis Joplin.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
I would rather see Joplin over Hendrix, to be honest.
I don't know.
There's really only about, I don't know, maybe five songs of his that I thoroughly enjoy. Number one, of course, will be All Along the Watchtower.
Well, yeah.
But the rest of it, he goes a little bit too, you know, free association with his guitar for me. It's not his full discography is definitely not my taste.
Okay. I can appreciate that.
Sure, sure.
But I like, I mean, when Joplin wasn't completely stoned off her ass, she could actually belt out some good bluesy type stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that would have been a hell of a thing to witness.
I guess the ultimate thing would have been able to find a double bill at some point. You could go see him, but go to the Fillmore East and see both of them at one time.
Yeah.
The Allman Brothers are another group. I would love to have seen them back when Dwayne Allman was alive. Because the concert footage I've seen of them is just incredible. I mean, they were so tight.
I would love to have seen some of the Who's stuff in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's another good
one. That would have been. I think for me, it would be more of a. I would love to go back to the 60s and look at the old Apollo shows. Anybody that was at the Apollo in that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would have enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah.
That could have been amazing.
Yep.
Probably have to wade through a lot of shit.
Well, I don't think it's not like it used to be on that TV show that used to run. I mean, back in the 60s, I mean, I think it was probably all quality acts. I don't think.
It could very well have been. I don't know. That would have been a hell of a thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that shot through Motown played at the Apollo. Sam Cooke played there.
James Brown.
So, I mean, you know. I don't know. I think
that would have been. I wouldn't have thought of that. That would have been interesting, though.
Mm-hmm.
There's something else kind of ties into this question in one of mine. I've explored a little bit of music that I never thought I would before.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been in with the last couple of years that I even bothered to go pick up Johnny Cash at Folsom Prison.
Oh, boy. That's a great one. I've got
that. Yeah, it is a good one.
And I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, am I going to go out and buy everything else a man cut? No.
Go get San Quentin, though. If you like Folsom Prison, you'll like San Quentin.
I might have to give that a try. Absolutely.
I wouldn't want to be in Folsom Prison seeing that, though.
Yeah. No, exactly. Watching old tapes file.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got a good one.
Okay.
I got a good one. Well, this is maybe a little bit more morbid, but it's definitely not pop culture. But would you guys rather know when you're going to die or how you were going to die?
Neither.
You don't want to know
anything? I don't want to know at all. Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
How about you, Rando?
That's a tough one. I mean, if I knew how, I have the potential to extend my life. If I knew when, excuse me, that was a hell of a weird sound.
Going through puberty.
That's my second puberty at 42.
There you go.
That's why balls drop even further.
Yeah, to your knees.
That's a tie in a knot when I go play. if I knew how I was going to die, I could figure out how to extend my life. If I knew when I was going to die, although it would be morbid, it would probably give me the impetus to try to savor more of my life.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Okay. Yeah, that is.
But it would still be morbid as hell.
Yeah.
Well, of course it would, yeah. Okay. I just thought it was a little just popping in my head.
What about you?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I want to know when. I want to see the thing. I'm weird. Death doesn't bother me. It's growing old that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily would want to know when I was going to die or how I was going to die. It's just that the process of getting there would be hard. So I don't think I would want to know either one. So there you go. There's a nice vague answer for you.
Very political of you.
Thank you.
Okay, here's mine. My next question, that is. And you guys were scaring me because I thought the both of you were going to take this one.
Uh-oh.
If you had the power to go back in time and change one historical event, what would it be, and what do you think the outcome of that would be?
Oh, geez.
That's a great
one. That's a good one. That's a complicated one, too.
Hmm.
I would probably stop Oswald from shooting Kennedy.
Okay.
Because you look at what at the 1960s, all I mean, well, there was a lot of stuff under the current that was brewing, you know, the civil rights era and everything, but a lot of it kicked off in high gear after Kennedy died, and you have to wonder how much longer would that stuff have simmered, and what would Kennedy have done had he lived, you know?
Right, right. Huh. I think for me, and I'm looking at it, I guess, on the grand scale of evil, I mean, I would probably stop, I mean, I would stop Hitler from being born.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And I think what would happen from there, Germany would probably actually be in a financial mess, and that they would still be making, they would have been making reparations for World War One still, and the U.S. eventually would have had to bail them out without the war.
Well, you know, they finally paid off.
A bunch of people wouldn't have died.
They finally paid off their World War One reparations like 5 years ago. I remember seeing a news article about it.
Yeah, there you go. But I think I'd do that to keep a lot of people from suffering.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though. I mean, there's more than just Hitler that hated the Jews. I'm curious if that would have escalated Middle Eastern tensions.
Well, the thing about it, I think, I don't know if it necessarily would have done that, but I think that the scope of everything wouldn't have gotten as far as it did. But then again, they didn't have Hitler. Germany could have won the war. Because without Hitler, they would not be invading Russia.
No, no.
I mean, because they could have won the war. They were really close to having strategic victories all over the place.
Yeah, and then they invaded Russia, and then they declared war on us.
Right, and then all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, but I think I would stop that.
Well, the Middle East would be a different place because there wouldn't be a state of Israel had World War II
true.
Not been fought.
That's
and,
true.
And the Holocaust not happened. And that would change the whole political makeup of that region.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of things wouldn't have happened that did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's weird. I mean, change one little thing and...
Yeah. Well.
Snowball effect.
Well.
What about you, Rando?
This is interesting. I mean, my knee-jerk reaction is, of course, you know, kill Hitler or like you said, stop him from being born or what have you. But I had heard my first-year college roommate say that near the end of the war, that Patton wanted to continue on an advance into Russia.
Yep.
Yeah, he did.
Yep. Because
mm-hmm. he saw what was going to happen to them.
Yeah.
When Stalin got
I am curious what would happen if the government would have let him do it. Let him go on into Russia and try to take it over. I mean, it would have been probably an incredibly bloody conflict, but with Patton at the helm, it would have been a force to be reckoned with, provided that he didn't start beating up his own soldiers.
Right.
They would have done, I think, the same thing that they did with Hitler and the same thing they did with Napoleon. They would have just pulled back and wait for winter to set in and mop up the remains after that. I mean,
that's a very good point. I mean, they definitely had their terrain and weather on their side.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the bomb to consider.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, because they could have easily decided, you know, we can end this right here. Or at least have the threat of ending it.
But did Russia have nuclear technology then? I mean, we stole it from the Germans, basically, by stealing all their scientists.
They stole it. They stole it from us, but they didn't. Right. They didn't develop a bomb until late '40s, early '50s.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't have it at the end of World War II. I mean, no. At the time of Hiroshima, they didn't have it. So we could have easily used that as leverage,
provided we were able to make another one.
Yeah.
In time.
Well, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Because we didn't have any after Nagasaki. We only had three of them, and they used one for testing, and they dropped one on Hiroshima and one on Nagasaki.
Right.
I got my degree in history. Can you tell?
Yeah, there you
I
go.
Did a paper on this in college. Can you tell?
Mm. We could have bluffed. We might have bluffed our way with it, though.
Yeah.
Technologically, though, I mean, you look at the vast difference in the design of the bombs between Fat Man and Little Boy.
Yeah.
Would we have been able to technologically come up with a fourth, you know, minimally a fourth, to have as a threat at the time? I mean, especially, I mean, and would this country have had the will to do it after seeing the horrors that it wreaked upon? The people, I mean, the plain old ordinary people who were in the area, knowing what it did to them, would this country have had the political will to do it a third time? I don't know about that.
That's a good question. We'll never know. Thankfully. Yeah.
Thankfully. I hope not. God.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting one. Very good.
We want to do one more to wrap up, something a little more lighthearted.
What? Well, let's see. Yeah, let's see what we can come up with. Maybe something a little more light. Let's see.
What's your favorite dirty joke?
Oh, jeez. I don't even know if I have a dirty joke anymore. I don't have any. I've never was a big joke teller.
I wasn't either.
I can make a smart ass comment, but I can't really tell a joke worth the shit.
The only one that's coming to my mind right now is that guy who works at a deli came home early from his shift, and his wife is waiting for him at home. Says, "You know, how come you're home so early?" And says, "Well, after the lunch rush, things got a little slow. You know, I was kind of bored, so I took my dick out and stuck it in the pickle slicer." I says, "Well, what happened?" "Well, they fired me." And his wife goes, "Well, you know, it wasn't that great a job anyway. You know, we'll work it out." And then she gets real curious and says, "What'd they do to the pickle slicer?" And the guy says, "Well, she got fired too."
But I'm bummed. Dun, dun, dun.
I never heard that. That's a good one. I've got one, but it's visual. It won't work over Skype. Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, my.
Okay. Well, that went really well, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And
yeah, it was a little... A little more serious than I was thinking it was going to be drawn into it, but that's okay. You never know what you're going to get with this crew.
That's true. And I hope you enjoyed our 10th podcast, and we'll have more to come. And don't forget to come see us on mlctaskforce.com, and we're happy to always hear from you, and just drop us a line when you get a chance.
Yeah, and we're also on Facebook at Midlife Task. Facebook.com/MidlifeCrisisTaskForce.
Or on Gmail at MLCTaskForce@gmail.com.
All righty. Well, I hope everyone has a good weekend, and we'll talk at you soon.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Toodles.